May the peace of Christ be with you. This is Molly Vetter, Senior Pastor of the Westwood United Methodist Church in Los Angeles. Welcome to our Sanctuary Gathering podcast. Here we share the sermon preached on Sunday as a part of our Sanctuary Gathering. We hope that in these words you will be drawn closer to God and made more ready to love your neighbor. As a congregation, we embrace the words of the Hebrew prophet that are etched into the stairs that lead to our building, the calling to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. We also believe that we're a richer congregation for the diversity of people who participate in our community, and we celebrate the diversity of age, race, gender identity, and sexual orientation that participate in our church. You are welcome in this place, and we hope you will participate. We invite you to do your own theology, to wrestle with questions of faith as we seek out what it means to be faithful Christians today. You're welcome to join us not only by listening in to this podcast, but we also invite you to join in our congregational life. Every Sunday, you're welcome to join us for worship at 9:30 a.m. You can join us in our beautiful sanctuary in Los Angeles at the corner of Warner and Wilshire, or online via our church Facebook page. All are welcome in our midst, and we thank you for being a part of our church. May these moments be a blessing to you today.
Good morning. I'll be reading from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 through 9. Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you that have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me and eat what is good, and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Listen, so that you may live. I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. See, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander for the peoples. See, you shall call nations that you do not know, and nations that do not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for God has glorified you. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for God will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Our gospel reading is from Luke in chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. It includes conversation with Jesus and others, and then a parable. I invite you to listen for the word of God. At that very time, there was some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish, just as they did. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put manure on it If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? O Holy Spirit, may my words and our thoughts and our lives reflect the fullness and beauty of your grace. We pray in your holy name. Amen. I've been grateful for the daily devotionals in the Good Enough book that I've been using this Lent. I hope that some of you have as well. In particular, I enjoyed one of the daily devotions that I read this past Monday, entry 11. It was speaking about the tourist destinations that we sometimes visit. And not the grand ones, the ones that are especially Instagram-worthy, where we know exactly the angle of the photo we should take to document our having visited a great place on earth. Exactly the pullover as you enter Yosemite, where you can overlook the valley, exactly the shot with the Eiffel Tower or the Great Pyramids. Kate Bowler, who wrote our devotional, has a love of the more obscure, off-the-beaten-path, and less exciting landmarks. She has a special affinity for the world's largest anything. This last week on Instagram, she shared that she'd made it to the world's largest sculpture of an armadillo while in Texas. She's exchanged the great things that make our bucket lists, that make the headlines, that look impressive to everyone else, for the less significant great things that we're more likely to find on our journey. Her delight in the world's largest armadillo is to me a reminder to notice the incredible things that are here around us, where we are all the time, maybe that haven't made all the tour guidebooks, maybe that aren't worth note in everyone's particular diary, but that show us something precious and special about this world we inhabit and this life that we live. She writes in her devotional about a stained glass window her mom wanted to visit in a church in rural Canada, about getting the key from the woman who worked at the local 7-Eleven to get access to see this impressive window. When they finally got there, she said, it wasn't that impressive. It was a very fine window, but they delighted in it, no less. Finding beauty where it is to be found in our midst. It's a little bit the invitation that the prophet Isaiah gives in the verses that we read this morning, the verses Tanya read so beautifully. These are some of my favorites of the words of our prophet Isaiah. They're invitational. They ask us to claim beauty and goodness here where we are. Come, it says over and over again, come and enjoy the good stuff of life here, now, together. There is in this season that continues to be not what we had hoped, in a world marked by division and anger, by war and violence, by uncertainty of what's ahead, and our planet is in peril. It's tempting to see only the brokenness and discouragement. But there's an invitation that comes from God, spoken so eloquently through the prophet Isaiah today, to come, to be community, to enjoy good food and good drink, to know and taste a goodness that's here even now, a foretaste of what is to come. In contrast, the gospel passage that we read today from Luke gives us a different set of questions and problems. It begins with questions about whether people deserve the horrible things that befall them. And while it's tempting to relegate this way of thinking to an ancient day we no longer belong to think that we've moved on from the logic that says if calamity befalls, it's probably because of something you did, a punishment for sin, generally we've discarded that explanation for disaster. Certainly, it's not part of the theology we inhabit here at Westwood United Methodist Church. And yet, there is temptation in our self-reflection, in our judgment of others, to think that people, to some extent, deserve what comes to them. If in no other place, as we reflect on our treatment of migrants and refugees here at our southern U.S. border, And the treatment we wish for refugees from Ukraine as they flee war in search of safety in another place, we see disparities that reveal our own prejudices and judgments, that reveal dangerous thought of prejudice that allow us to see some as more worthy than others, to live with the belief that some of us are more worthy than others. But Jesus follows up his reminder that all of us are going to die and that all of us will experience calamity if we don't repent, if we don't turn to God to change our ways, with a parable about a fig tree. Now, Matthew and Mark also include little stories about fig trees, but theirs are different. Theirs include short accounts of Jesus cursing a fig tree. Here in Luke's gospel, Jesus tells a parable about a fig tree that's been unproductive. And when the owner of the vineyard comes and asks the gardener to cut down the tree that has been unproductive for 3 years, the gardener recommends a different course, instead to dig around it, to add manure, and to see if it might bear fruit next year. In this story, there's an invitation to tending, an invitation to care. I want to confess that I've often read this story about this fig tree from a very individualistic perspective. I've taken heart that Jesus and this gardener care about an unproductive fig tree because I've seen myself in the fig tree in seasons when I've not been as productive as I would have hoped or as others expected or wanted. I have sympathy for the fig tree and gratitude for a gardener who sees hope and possibility, even when the tree is not bearing what it might have. I've read it as a person then taking my belonging with this particular tree. But I think I've missed out on something important about this reading. And some of it has to do with what I've come to understand about trees and what I've come to understand about soil. The vineyard owner says an interesting thing. He says, we need to cut down this fig tree because it shouldn't be, he says, wasting the soil. It's a strange thing to think about it, that the tree is wasting the soil. A very individualistic way of reading how soil and plants and life interact with one another, as if this were a fair way of assessing the world. I'm not in any way an expert gardener, and I don't really understand what's needed to be a successful vineyard owner in the ancient Near East. But my experience with gardening is that plants that fail to thrive more often fail to thrive because I've put them in the wrong place, because they don't have the right amount of water or light, or something's missing in the soil that they need, or something that they contribute to the soil is overrepresented in that particular place. I wonder about this fig tree then. Is it fair to look at its productivity, to assess its worth based only as if we were looking at the tree alone and not the community that's been set in, the interaction of the soil and the microorganisms that live in it? What is it to sympathize with the tree while also knowing that it belongs in a community? I've been thinking about community in part this week in preparation for yesterday's memorial service for Richard Evans, a member of this church since 1960. It's hard to imagine what this community is without him. In my time here, he's not been a person who expects a lot of attention, who draws the light or takes the microphone for himself. Instead, he's been a faithful contributor, a positive presence, and one who faithfully shows up week after week. Yesterday, as I was reflecting with others during the reception after the service, we were musing in wonder about whether he knew how important and meaningful his presence was to the whole of the community or not. He wasn't one who often might be singled out for such attention.
but whose consistency in showing up and always with a positive attitude, singing in the choir, faithfully participating, I think, in every committee here at the church, willing to take up tasks, humble or great. His presence made a difference for who we are as a community. When I think of Richard, grateful for his life, prevents me from imagining this fig tree on its own. Because this fig tree, any particular tree we might use to measure the productivity or success, the faithfulness or the goodness of the land, is a part of something more than itself. Our stories don't belong to us alone, but us together. My productivity, my ability to have something to offer, to contribute for the good of the whole, comes because I've been nurtured and shaped by a multitude of people in significant and tiny ways who have all helped me understand that I am beloved, helped me see what love can look like in human lives like our own, and have given me encouragement, correction, who've held me accountable, and who have inspired me. I am because I belong in community. Which is, I think, part of what I love about the words that the prophet Isaiah speaks in chapter 55. Speaks to a people who've been in exile, a word of hope that is a joyous celebration, an invitation that comes to everyone. Whether or not you have money, he says, come and buy wine and milk and let us feast. It's an invitation to share in a good life, not in isolation, but together. As much as anyone, the words of the prophet Isaiah speak to us a value and a vision of how to be faithful that cannot be held as individuals, but always belongs to us together. The prophet Isaiah spoke of the dangers of greed and isolation, of separating ourselves from one another, of amassing and accumulating for our own benefit at the expense of others. And in contrast, paints this image of another world that's possible, where we share together in the good things. It doesn't have to be the world's largest armadillo. It could be simply a beautiful day of sunshine here on the church courtyard, as we sip coffee together. It could be a phone call to someone that we've missed for a long time, just checking in to ask if they're okay. It comes from knowing that our successes are borne by all of us together, that our joy becomes multiplied as we share it in community, and that our community also means that we're present in times of struggle and difficulty to cut our burden in half. We are the church together, in a way that transforms who we are and what we can be as we bear each other's burdens and share each other's joys. And not just us who gather in this place or log on to this live stream feed, but us as a part of a Christian church that stretches around the world and that stretches back through time. We belong to the communion of saints who have preceded us, and we belong to all those who call on Christ's name anywhere. We belong to the whole of this fragile creation, including both Christians and non-Christians, humans and non-human creatures that call this fragile planet home. And we're invited this day to find nourishment and hope, to dare to believe that we, like that unproductive fig tree, are worth tending. I live with an 11-year-old boy, my son. Every time a scripture passage has the word manure in it, I think of the special delight that we have in a gospel that includes a little manure from time to time. I think this metaphor works well for my experience of how transformation comes. That it's not always neat, tidy, elegant, or beautiful, but that God sometimes works, can I say, through the crap? To do a new thing, that sometimes what seems like it's all falling apart becomes an occasion that changes who we are and how we relate to each other. It can be in moments of grief and heartache that we recognize that we are held in the care of others. It can be in moments of tension and conflict that we break open ways of being that were harmful to some and find a new, healthier way to be together. It can be in the struggle as we take up belonging for and with one another, whether that be our unhoused neighbors on the streets of Los Angeles or the people fleeing violence in Ukraine. We are community together. We are held in the care of God, and we are worth tending. We're invited to contribute to the work of tending others, to bear one another up and shoulder our mutual burden, but also to know a God who counts us as precious, who inhabits every breath that we take, who gives us hope of another way. This Sunday, as we continue our good enough journey through Lent, I want to remind you that lots of things can be medicine, that we can find healing and hope, tending and care in unlikely places in the midst of the struggle. We don't wait until it's been fixed to experience the healing, but here now, on the journey, in the struggle, while we live with the diagnosis before our bodies have repaired themselves, even as we go to grief, we find here medicine and hope and healing. May it be so. Amen.